Blog Talk Radio.
Republican. He is the nominee at this point. There's no one else.
that he's competing against, unless there's a dark horse that comes up to suspension. He's behaving as such. He's trying to align himself, and others have started aligning themselves behind him as well. He's garnished a number of nods, including Dana, whom that went on record saying, I don't know, but he does have that. He does not have Ryan's support. We'll get into that more in detail. The transgender fight is heating up. The administration has come through with a number of things. First off, they fired off the lawsuit. I think we talked about this last week. But if it didn't, federal government sued North Carolina because of their law banning transgender youth bathroom, which they identify. Then North Carolina turned around and sued the feds. The feds came back and sued them once again, Title IX. And here we go again. The feds came through with more directives just Friday, but the news broke on Thursday, again, busy Thursday. The news broke on Thursday about what they were going to do, at least, and it dropped on Friday. So, begin at the beginning. I'll begin there. So on Thursday, the federal judge ruled that the cost of sharing provision of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, was unconstitutional, more or less. That provision requires insurance companies offering plans to reduce out-of-pocket costs to the insured. So they come through, and where a premium may be $80 a month, they will sell it to you if you qualify for the insurance for, let's say, $42 a month. Well, the backside of that was the government would then come in and say, well, it still costs you $80, so we're going to pay the difference, that $38, to you to reimburse you for the monies that you lost. So Judge Rosamie Collier ruled in favor of House Republicans. And this lawsuit was brought forward by John Boehner when he was the Speaker of the House. He led the charge on it. And this was one of the ways that they thought they could stop the Affordable Health Care Act, to roll it back, to repeal it, so on and so forth. Now, the judge in this case she's a Bush appointee, and she said that she would stay her ruling if appealed. Roll with that one time. She said, I made a decision. However, if you appeal my decision, I'll let you slide until the appeal goes through. That shit don't sound too confident to me. Now, I ain't smartest cat in the room. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. However, that doesn't speak to a whole lot of confidence in what she's decided. Meaning, she seems to have ruled more from the gut than the true interpretation. And I always caution people when they challenge President Obama with anything dealing with the Constitution. But let's please remember, this dude is a constitutional lawyer. He is not perfect by no stretch of the imagination. You know, his wife is a lawyer too, though. You see, when you got two folks in the house looking at the same thing, you know, it's kind of difficult to say, and coming up with the same answer, it's kind of difficult to go, well, I think y'all both wrong. Okay, you can, but one would tend to be more subjective and objective versus the other. And, you know, you're going to come out with some pretty solid stuff. I'm pretty sure this cat did not just sit in the room and say, yeah, let's just throw this shit up against the wall and see if it sticks. I don't think he did that. He could have. I don't think he did. So here it is. The Justice Department is going to take the hit. They're going to review everything that she said, and then they're going to appeal it. So everything that happened Thursday in respect to this, for the short term, is going to be nullified until it goes to the Supreme Court. Now, let's remember, at this point, though, the court is split 4-4. Now, this can play out as a 5-3 decision, or it could stay a 4-4 decision. If it remains a 4-4 decision, then it defers to whatever the lower court said. Now, they don't have to take it as high as the Supreme Court. They can take it to a 3-judge panel to have this reviewed at that point, at the appellate court level. And then if they don't work it out there, then they can go all the way to. Don't think it's going to go that far, but those are the steps in the process. At the end of the day, what this all means is that folks who are using the service wind up, if her ruling stands and sticks, folks that are using the service could just wind up paying higher premiums. Good and bad thing. Good thing because they still have insurance. Bad thing because if they could afford the higher daggone premium, then I think they would have been paying the higher daggone premium. But this is where we're at, and this is the process that we have to travel, because there'll be some more litigation coming out along with that, because the administration has been on fire this week, on fire, the transgender issue. So on Friday, the administration issued guidance citing Title IX of the Civil Rights Act of 1965, directing public schools to allow transgender students to use bathrooms matching their gender identity. Now, this identity, how they identify, not how they were born. Now, going back to what we said about the lawsuits in North Carolina, and then this directive here. What this all plays down to is your road sign on the highway, the connection. The connection is simple. Back in the 90s, Bill Clinton had his team do a study of highway speed, and they came back, Department of Transportation came back and said, yo, in some areas, the speeds on the highway are just too damn slow. We want to raise the national speed limit. This was a great debate. Everyone's up in arms. Everyone in power is up in arms. Moms against drunk driving. Folks are just up in arms. This is, you know, it's going to lead to more deaths, more fatalities, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, Bill Clinton put the directive through the Department of Federal Highway Administration, come through and say, yo, this is what we want to do, you know, make it happen. Some states balk. We ain't doing that shit. Fuck. Okay, cool. No problem. Y'all forgot that we give you money, right? Now, see, this is what this all ties into. You forget that we give you money. Every month, we give you money. We give you money to keep your roads intact, to keep your bridges intact, to keep your highways, all this stuff. We give y'all money for that. So you don't raise the speed limit in your state, we don't give you any money. That's fine. You figure out how the hell you're going to make that. You figure out how the hell you're going to make up for that pitfall in your budget. See how that shit goes. Well, needless to say, once he pulled the card, everyone still balked, but they fell in line. Now, they bitch moaned and complained. That was their form of balking at that point. But they fell in line. They were like, yeah, you know, you're kind of right. So this is why when you travel 10 and 20 and 70 and 95, so on and so forth, the speed limit no longer is simply 55. Most highways now are 60, 65, 70. Hell, there's certain parts in Texas, Arizona, California, Nevada, that, you know, you can do 85, 90. It depends on where you are. Honestly, that's supposed to be a limit, 85 to 90. It really depends on where you are. So I understand that folks have to stand up and fight, especially being an election year. They have to energize their base, make sure the money's coming in for their reelection campaign, so on and so forth. But they're going to fall, and they're going to fold. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick calls this directive blackmail and accuses the administration of trying to socially engineer how society looks, says that the American public will not put up with this. Mississippi Governor directed his education department to ignore the order. And again, you can do that. You know, this is toward the end of the school year. You can do that. Mississippi. I really don't think y'all want to mess with the federal government. You get way too much damn money from the feds. That's not a fight that you're going to win. Not. You know, but again, this is an election year. This is when folks are going to pause and position themselves to look like the good Samaritan for their party, and I'm not mad at them. That's what they're supposed to do. So, that's again on Thursday. Ryan and Trump met on Thursday. It was a brief meeting, very brief. They only met for about 45 minutes. It was a lukewarm meeting at best, from all indications. After the meeting, a joint statement was issued. Ryan still has not come out and said that he is supporting Donald Trump. Still hasn't. Still has not endorsed this cat. However, the joint statement, in essence, was while we were honest about our few differences, we recognize that there are so many areas of common ground that we can work and build upon. We will be having additional discussions, but remain confident there's a great opportunity to unify our party and win this fall, and we are totally to working together to achieve that goal. This love fest, love-hate fest, between Trump and Ryan is the stage for 2020. Let's not get this whole thing twisted. Paul Ryan has aspirations of being the president of the United States. Paul Ryan is a very smart individual. I respect this cat. I said on the show. If anyone was going to be the Speaker of the House, I thought Ryan was the best choice to be the Speaker. Was very young when Boehner took over. I think that was the knock against him, but he's a smart dude. He's a smart dude. I don't like all of his platform stances. However, I respect him, and I think he's wise enough to understand that governance is something that you have to do in the middle. More often than not, this is why we have not had as many idiotic votes in the House as we had previous. Okay? Now, again, he emerges from this meeting lukewarm to Trump. I don't think that he believes that he's a true conservative. I don't think that he believes that he should be the steward of the party. He knows that this is what he has. And unless, again, during the convention, there's some sort of dark horse, there's a wild card that comes up and just pops out of nowhere, kabam, this is what he's left to operate with. So as the nominee of his party, he has to do what he has to do in respect to winning for his team. You dig? And what he believes would be the best win for the country. Again, what he believes. I'm not saying that he's right on that, but that's his belief. And I respect him for that. The House, under Ryan, has taken up the Zika virus. Now, if you remember, about a month or so ago, the president came out and requested $1.9 billion to fight and combat the Zika virus. The House squashed it. Nope, we're not taking that up. We're not taking it up at all. We're not feeling it. Too much money, nah, ain't going to happen. We need to control the purse strings, right? Again, not madam. We're coming out of this deficit. I'm sorry, we're coming out of this recession. We need to be smart with our money, okay? But now they've reversed their course. So now they're looking at a bill that they've developed themselves and getting a vote on that bill as early as midweek. Wednesday is their target right now. It may happen sooner, may happen a couple days later, but at least they're talking about this. Let's be honest, folks. This, like climate control, is real. This shit is coming. It's nothing that we can do to stop it. We've been blessed with some weather that has prevented most insects from getting and becoming extremely active as of yet. You know, again, I said we finally got some heat here on the East Coast. Man, it's been cool here. It's been extremely cool here. Hell, I've been wearing a sweatshirt every day up until, well, hell, I had a sweatshirt on yesterday morning, to be honest. Yesterday afternoon, I was burning like hell, but I had one on yesterday morning. I walked out the house today with a sweatshirt. I don't have to wear it now because I'm burning up like hell, but I did walk out the house today with a sweatshirt. So we've had some weather that's been really on our side and has been keeping a lot of things at bay. But the Zika virus is coming. Like Ebola, the shit is coming. If we're not prepared for it, and the ill thing about this virus, the folks that are at greatest of risk are unborn children. Pregnant women with unborn children causes brain disease. Don't know why. Don't know where these damn mosquitoes came from all of a sudden. You know, my conspiracy theory-ness, because that's the hell I am. Yes, I do believe in them. This is another engineered disease to make folks some money. It is. The Ebola virus, what happened to it? Yeah, my point well taken. Thank you very much. ISIS is on the run. And Syria, the Syrian Democratic Forces, along with the Syrian Arab Coalition, are pressing ISIS on its eastern and western front in Raqqa. Raqqa is the ISIS stronghold and their center of operations, as so declared by themselves. It is so bad that they have declared a state of emergency within themselves. Now, ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is believed to be in Raqqa still, or somewhere in around Raqqa. It has been being reported by U.S. forces, our intelligence forces, not our ground forces, not boots on the ground, but our intelligence forces, that personnel have been moved rapidly around and in the city to protect ISIS's stronghold. Now, the thing about this that really caught my eye when this story first broke and I heard it, I was like, imagine that. I've been hearing folks over the past week or so really dog President Obama. Now, understand this. As a supporter of his, I'm also a critic of his. I don't think the shit that he pulled in Flint was smart. I think that it does hush a lot of the clamor that was coming out of Flint. I think that was some bullshit, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But, I'm sorry, in addition to that, I don't think that, and this hit my pocket, I don't think the cash for clunkers move was the smartest thing to do either. It really fucked up the car market. If you bought a car recently, especially a used car, you have noticed how much more expensive a used car is at a dealer than it was pre the Cars for Clunkers program, right? Because that took a lot of cars out of the market. It just did. It eliminated stock. Demand still was there. So the prices, supply, demand, it narrowed the supply. The demand was still the same. So now here you go. You're spending more money out of pocket for some piece of shit car than it's really damn worth. Sort of like the housing crisis, but we won't get into that because he didn't do that. But moving forward, imagine this cat coming through and eliminating ISIS before he gets out of office. You're talking, what, roughly 7 months before he's gone? If ISIS is gone before he's gone, dog, you need to carve out another damn place on Mount Rushmore. This cat then did it. This has done it. The numbers, you cannot argue with. I checked the Dow today like I always do. It's over 17,000 again, butting on 18. 17 butting on 18. We just came out of Q1, the first earning quarter of the year, January, February, March, right? Here it is, only May, the middle of Q2. We're still going strong. There have been no huge hiccups or interruptions in anything. The dependence on foreign oil is constantly going down. The grid is constantly becoming more and more clean. Tesla is working with anybody and everybody that will team with them to make better batteries, and battery storage capability in order to keep this clean energy housed so it can be used whenever there are bad days, meaning if the sun isn't shining and we can't get a lot of solar that day, we have this energy stored in these batteries and it can go out. If the wind isn't blowing and we can't get energy from the wind turbines that day, we have this energy stored in these batteries and it can go out. I mean, all of this shit is happening under the Obama watch. Can't deny this. This cat just signed, he's going to sign, put the signature approval on the Paris Agreement, clean air. This is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. Bin Laden gone, stock market back up, housing prices coming back, jobs being created, no attacks on American soil, cut out one war, shipping everybody out of Gitmo, and he's doing that shit. He's like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And then Cuba relations restored, Iranian nuclear deal. Tell me something that was on the list of the past seven presidents, if you were alive that long, which most of us weren't, but the past seven presidents that this dude has not checked off. Tell me the exception of North Korea. And damn it, don't count his ass out. Because we'll wake up on Monday and, you know, him and freaking John Kerry will announce a goddamn binding treaty that they just made with North Korea. It's like, where the hell I come from? Yeah, we've been in these discussions for the past, really? That's why these jokers been showing their ass? And this is why Russia is so nervous with all the flybys and getting close to our ships and our planes and all that shit? This is what's going on, really? I wouldn't doubt it. This cat is on it. I mean, when you think of it and you think about it, he's already done it. It amazes me. It amazes me. It really does. But, hey, I voted for him for a damn reason, and I'm so happy that I did. McKelly, I named this one McKelly. Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa said their goodbyes on Friday. That was Mike's last broadcast on live with Kelly. Now, the love fest was uneasy from all accounts and descriptions. It was the end. It was not a fitting end, I wouldn't say, because I think that the two of them have really grown from one another, and I know she's helped to grow him big time, without a doubt. So, but it was appropriate for them to be on camera together, say the goodbye together, and then separate. And he's leaving to go to Good Morning America. He's going to shore up that broadcast. And she is going on vacation soon, but will come back and do the whole search for a new co-host thing. Now, I'm pretty sure that ABC will give her a lot of leeway in that because they fucked her with him going to Good Morning America. So I'm pretty sure that they will give her pretty much carte blanche when it comes to selecting whom her next co-host is going to be. And it would be the right thing to do. They need to heal that relationship. So that would only be appropriate for them to do that. I wish both of them good luck in their future endeavors because they will both need it. And I'm happy that Mike has this opportunity to show off his talents. You know, he's not an athlete. He's showing that he's a savvy individual all the way around. You know, his endorsement deals led to the television and so on and so forth. He's doing well for himself. I'm proud of that dude. You know, he could have just fallen off the face of the earth into retirement and just chilled, but he chose to step out, do something totally different, you know, gap in teeth and everything, do something totally different, and he's doing well. People love him. They respect him. He's doing his thing. Good luck to both of them as they go on. On, I think it was Tuesday, London elected Sadiq Khan, 45-year-old Muslim. He is the first elected Muslim mayor of a major, I have to say that again, major capital city. Again, major capital city. There have been other Muslim mayors in other Western cities, but this is the first mayor of a major Western capital city. Okay? He was born to Pakistani immigrants in London. He lived in a home with his six brothers and one sister, three-bedroom public housing apartment, a flat. If you are British like I, they had a flat, a public housing flat, which is very common in Europe. Studied law. He became a university lecturer. He then went on to be the chairman of a civil liberties group. He was then elected to Parliament in 2005. He has described his living situation as the best thing that could happen to him. He's very proud to be a Londoner. He is very grateful that his daughters have a place in which they have freedoms and choices that they would not have had they lived in other places in the world. So, Mr. Khan, congratulations, welcome, and one day I hope to see you tipping around Trafalgar Square, because I am going home. It is overdue rather than later. Talking about a trip, somebody may be taking a trip to the cooler. As I said in the beginning, Joe Arapio was found guilty of court orders. What the hell is that? Well, he was found in contempt. That's guilty. That's a white collar word for guilty. That's guilty. Now, when I saw this one, I was like, yo, this is the dude that, you know, he's like the sheriff. Joker's, he's a truly polarizing figure. This is the cat in Arizona that has the prison in the middle of the desert. He has Jokers and pinstripes. He dresses, he issues pink underwear to the inmates, so on and so forth. Like, he has Jokers living bare bone minimum, tent cities. Like, yo, you in prison. This is not a vacation. You were going to do it. You did the crime, you're going to do the time, and this is what the hell you're going to get. That's his mindset, you dig? But federal judge Jean Mary Snow ruled that he and three of his subordinates violated court orders. The defendants have engaged in multiple acts of misconduct, dishonesty, and bad faith with respect to the plaintiff class, being Latinos, and the protection of its rights, demonstrating a persistent disregard for the orders of the court, as well as an intention to violate and manipulate the laws and policies regulating their conduct as they pertain to their obligation to be fair, equitable, and impartial with respect to the interests of the plaintiff class. Arpaio was found contempt on three counts. Chief Deputy Jerry Sheridan was found guilty on two counts, and retired Chief Brian Sands and Lieutenant Joe Sosa both were found contempt of one count. Hearing has been set for May 31st to assess penalties and remedies. The judge will decide if criminal contempt charges should be and will be filed. Back in March of 2009, a federal investigation was started and the sheriff's department. The sheriff's office refused to cooperate with this investigation for 8 months, prompting the feds to file a lawsuit in September 2010 under Title 6 of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Notice how much the Civil Rights Act is coming into play for everybody but black folks. Anyhow, Title 6 bars discrimination based on race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal funds. Again, family, follow the money. Hit them in their pocketbook, people tend to get in line. Should be engaging in a widespread pattern or practice of law enforcement in jail activities that discriminated against Latinos. In May 2013, Judge Snow ruled the county was racially and ethnically profiling people of Latino descent. she told him to stop. I'm sorry, he told him to stop at such a point in time. They continued. This is where this ruling came. This. If you didn't win the Powerball, that's okay. Family in New Jersey did. New Jersey, I'm sorry, New Jersey. You all better know. East Coast. The $429.6 million prize was claimed by a single family, the Smith family. The family of eight, the ticket was bought by Pearlie Smith at a 7-Eleven. It is the sixth largest winning in U.S. history and the largest winning in New Jersey to ever come from a single ticket. The family has decided to take the lump sum. So they're going to get $284 million. How do we get to that? Because the IRS gets their cut. And their cut is 39.6%, of which the government takes off the top 25%. The other 14.6% comes on tax day next year, family. So y'all mofos need to put your money away. Cut a check, just set it there in the bank, and take the rest of your loot and enjoy. They're going to divvy it up evenly, which is going to leave each family member with $35 million. So factor 14.6 of that, roughly 3.8-something million that they're going to have to pay the federal government next year. New Jersey gets 3% of that, by the way, which is very, very good for them. Had they lived in New York, it was over 8% that they would have got hit with taxes on that. So, good thing that they live in New Jersey, right? Coming out of McDonald's is the McFresh menu, which is McDonald's is now experimenting with limited testing of cooking fresh beef at 14 Dallas locations. The fresh beef is only going into the quarter pounder, which encompasses the quarter pounder with cheese, the double quarter, Clubhouse, and the home-style burger. I think they're feeling the pressure from In-N-Out Burger, Five Guys, even Wendy's, to be honest. Wendy's has a great fucking burger. Wendy's is just too damn expensive, boss. I mean, you go to Wendy's for a fast food joint. Now, you go to Five Guys, right, and you expect to pay a little bit of dough. It's Five Guys. Well, I'm going to pay some money here. But you go to Wendy's, the chain joint, you know what I'm saying? You don't expect to walk out of there paying $7, $8, $9 for a damn meal, but you go to Wendy's and you're going to pay a couple of fingers to get up out of there with a damn decent meal. So I think they're really starting to feel the pressure. I think they want to totally get back on top of the market because their all-day breakfast menu is crushing. Stock prices up 35% over last year. I mean, they are surging. They are killing it with the all-day breakfast menu. But there's another area that they're trying to corner the market on. They may be stretching it a little bit. They may be getting too greedy. Maybe it's a situation where they go back, redo the shakes. You know what I'm saying? Because the shakes at McDonald's used to be their staple. When they first started, the shakes were the meal, to be real, and then the burgers was like, you get a shake, and yeah, I'll give you a hamburger. That wasn't the thing. Like, their thing really was about the shake. But you can't fuck with a shake from Chick-fil-A. Man, that Chick-fil-A milkshake is off the chain. And McDonald's shakes are just blah in comparison, too. So, yeah, maybe they need to go back and take a look at that. You know, I don't know. I want to do in memoriam before I get to sports because sports is very brief. And, you know, we're going to wrap after this. In memoriam for this week is about the world's oldest person. Don't know who she is. That would have been Susanna Machado Jones. She passed. She was 116 years old. She was the last American born in the 1800s. She was born in Lowndes County, Alabama. If you don't know where Lowndes County, Alabama is, don't worry. Most people don't. I do because my ass is stuck there for 3 years and 3 years exactly. Lowndes County, Alabama is just directly south of Montgomery, Alabama. Her father was a sharecropper who picked cotton to support the family. She moved out of Alabama to New York in 1923, lived there ever since. She moved up to become a live-in housekeeper and a child care provider. She made $50 a week when she moved up. Now, her mission in life was to build a legacy. And this is why I really wanted to celebrate her, because it ties into what we talked about last week as far as financial planning, financial literacy, and doing what's right for those who were left behind. Now, she had no children from everything that I read, but she was hell-bent on providing a college education to the firstborn female in her family. Well, she did. She put her first three nieces through college on her $50 a week salary. She is the third oldest of 10 children. She had a total of 100 nieces and nephews. She attributed her longevity to sleep, clean living, and positive energy. She never drank or smoked. Let's put in perspective her life. She lived through 20 presidents, two world wars, the invention of the automobile, the invention of the plane, the moon landing, the invention of the television, and the internet. We salute you, Mrs. Jones, and thank you for everything you did for yourself and your family. May you rest in paradise. Really, that was huge. I saw that, and I was like, yo, this lady is not a star or thing of that nature, but she deserves praise. She did it. She really did the damn thing. And, you know, you got to tip your hat. You should tip your hat to people. Speaking of hat tippings, bow down to the OKC Thunder, because they knocked the Spurs out of the playoffs just the other night in a 113-99 victory in Game 6. Tim Duncan has not decided on what he's going to do. It was long rumored that this was going to be his last season, but they didn't achieve the pinnacle, so he may stick around. I say he needs to retire. This is gone. The legs are gone. It's time for him to change. That's my opinion. He'll definitely get a coaching job somewhere if he wants to coach. He can start at a huge university as an associate coach right off the muscle, which will get him to being a full-fledged coach within 2 to 3 years. He will be that dude, without a doubt. The Heat, however, got hot, and their offense sparked the flame, and they pushed the Game 7 against the Toronto Raptors. They won just the other night in a 103-91 decision against the Raptors. So now they go to Game 7. Cleveland is waiting on the winner of that series. State is waiting to play OKC on Monday. I believe that series starts on Monday. That'll be Game 1 of that. Shouts out to Stephen Curry and to his adorable daughter. That little girl is off the chain. Riley is off the record. You hear me? You saw her with the interview the other day. She walked up and she put her hand, her two fingers to her eyes and pointed back at the press like, I see y'all. I see y'all. That little girl is off the chain. Love her. She is a show stealer without a doubt. But Steph is, once again, P of the league. He is the first unanimous MVP in NBA history. He is, I believe, the third athlete to ever accomplish that, being a unanimous MVP. Now, there have been two other MVPs that fell one vote short. Shaquille O'Neal was one, and I want to say Kobe Bryant was the other. But, yeah, that's it, man. He's doing it. His daughter's doing it. Great family. They have another baby. I think it's another girl. I believe they just had another daughter recently. So, shout out to them and them. Family, this has been the soup for this week. I think I hit on everything that was of importance and as important. No Beyonce news, ain't talking about that. We got other things to talk about, you know. No, I didn't. God dang it. One more note. In the state of Maryland, the state has been has called for a review of Baltimore City's election. So, for mayoral election, there were way too many inconsistencies for the state to allow that to go forward as is. So they actually have called for a recount of that election results from Baltimore. Someone just hit me. No, actually, Darlene just hit me in the ass because I talk about George Zimmerman. No, not talking about Zimmerman. He's an ass. He is an ass. He will not get any play. No. Nope. Not going to happen. You want to talk about that idiot? You talk about that. Not you, darling. I'm talking about anybody else. You all want to talk about that idiot and that asshole? You talk about it. He gets no press from me. Nah. Nah. I'm good on that. Good. You all have a wonderful day. Please enjoy this heat. If you all are in the Midwest, I know when I was in Texas over the weekend, there were tornadoes and all that crap going on in Missouri and Kansas. Y'all, be safe out there, man. This is crazy. This weather, this is crazy. And this is all us. We got to do something about this, man. I will say it until my freaking face turns blue or my tongue falls off. We have to change what we are doing. We have to get smarter. It's simple shit. Recycle. Just fucking recycle. You know, I go to the Chick-fil-A. I take the styrofoam cups back. They may sit in the car for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Ah, shit, that damn face. I'm not the only one. But I'm saving the environment. Like, you can throw that away, and it becomes a problem. I'll let it sit there. It's not the most beautiful thing to do, but sometimes I just don't get back. But when I get back, I take them all back. Let them recycle them. Use that shit all over again. Take your bags. You know, you go shopping all the damn time. Take your bags to the Walmart or the Target or whomever, the Kroger, the HEB, the Giant, the Albertsons, whatever supermarket is near. You take your damn bags back. Don't just throw them in the trash can. Don't just throw them in the trash can. It doesn't take that much. How often you ask for in the store, you can drop it in and keep going. You can still talk on the cell phone and drop the bags off in the damn recycle bin. Come on, y'all. This is small things, but all these little things add up. They help. They help. They really do, but you got to do something. Got to do something. We all have to do something. We all do. And on that note, family, please have a great weekend. Please have a safe weekend. And we will see you back next week on the radio.